and we give Jesus Christ a standing ovation. So come on, men and women of God, let's praise God today. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. He is worthy of our praise. He is the great I am. He can do whatever you need today. Our God is a great God, a majestic God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is able. He is able. He is able. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. You may be seated if you can. It always feels like home to come to River of Life. It always feels like home. It is such a high honor by the Lord to stand in the pulpit of an authentic prophet of the Most High God. I love so much Pastor Dave. Dave and my family love him so much. I believe without a doubt that Pastor Dave and Pastor Ina, and they are my beautiful spiritual parents. I believe that they are the most anointed, the most humble, the most powerful pastors in the United States of America. They are true shepherds of God's people. Will you right now, stand up for our leaders at River of Life. Let them know how much we love them. We honor them. What a miracle. Pastor Dave is. The enemy tried to take him and God said no in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you. We honor you. And we thank God for you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk to the back. I'm home. Amen. When you're home, you just do what you do. And so I am going to allow the prophet of this house just to greet the people and say hello.
So good to see you. I receive just spiritual energy just coming into this place, hanging out with you guys. I'm serious. Every hour so far, just been gaining strength and just rejoicing with you. God is on the move. Praise the Lord. Got a good report from the doc this week. Yeah. He says your tumor's dying.
Amen.
It's dying. That's what I've been speaking to it to die. But all of the reports good. I got 123 over 63. Blood pressure, and it's the best it's ever been in my life. I'm serious.
Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. Let's put your hands out right now. Say, Pastor Dave, we decree and declare your body whole in Jesus' name. You've prayed over us and all your prayers. Rolling back onto you. Anemia bow to the name of Jesus. And your body energized. Dancing and jumping for Jesus. We love you, Pastor Dave. And we only speak words of life, words of health, and words of wholeness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, clap one more time. Hallelujah. God is good. We see a miracle. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. God is so good to us. It's so wonderful to hear the different testimonies. I remember when Ronnie had the stroke and the devil was trying to tell him all kinds of lies and they stood against it and would not receive it. Pastor Dave has walked out a miracle. There have been so many people, our beautiful flag lady, I call her, a miracle. God is so good. And Pastor Tim, come on, stand up. Come on, stand up. I'm telling you, miracle. Body shutting down, but God said, not today, devil. You ain't gonna take him out. Look at God. Look at God. Woo! Hallelujah. You have any words for us, Pastor Tim? Hallelujah. It's just so wonderful to see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And the one holding a mic was completely healed of breast cancer twice. And the last time I went to see my oncologist, they released me and said, "We consider you a cure." Now that is nothing but God. So it's like a miracle Sunday. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Well, look at your neighbor and say, "Get ready for a life-changing word." Let's stand to our feet to honor the most powerful force in the universe, the Word of God. According to Hebrews 11:3, it says, "By the Word of God, the worlds were created." By the Word of God, your world can be better. Look at your neighbor, say, "Speak the Word." Only speak the Word. But before I do that, I noticed a picture came up there. We have had the great honor of welcoming into our family. We were just in Little Rock, Arkansas to celebrate the marriage of my son to beautiful Dr. Maddie Costell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many women in the room? You can have a seat. Hey, you can have a seat now. How many, we'll read the word in a second. See, you put your child's picture up there, it just gets y'all distracted just for a little while. But how many women in the room have married off your sons? I'm telling you, it'll make you cry, won't it? When he walked me down that aisle, I was just a crying, and I thought, "Get yourself together. You've prayed this in. Get yourself together." But I thought, I'm walking him down the aisle, and I'm giving him to another woman. That's hard for a mama. Can I get a witness? But it was just glorious, and Maddie, we have welcomed into our family, and they are headed to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She is going to be in residency for 7 years. To be an orthopedic surgeon. So it will be nice to have a surgeon in the family. And I always joke, I said, when David was a little boy, he would kind of get hypochondria. As a hypochondriac, he would hear about an illness and the devil told him he had it. And so I was like, "I break that in Jesus' name." So I told him, I said, "Son, now you won't have to call me." And Lord knows everybody needs to say off of Google. Can I get a witness here when it comes to an ailment? I said, "Now you've really got a real doctor to talk to with your little symptoms sometimes." But he's healed and delivered and God has given him a beautiful, beautiful woman of God. Mr. Chi sends his greeting, our beautiful little Frenchie, and of course, Big Daddy Dave, my sweet husband of 32 years. He just gets sweeter and sweeter every day. I have a lot of women say, "We call our husbands Big Daddy too now." I said, "You better be calling them men Big Daddy, honey. Take care of your men. Take care of your men." Let's stand back up. We are going to read in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning in the 43rd verse. Luke chapter 8, beginning in the 43rd verse. And the title of the sermon today and teaching is, "It is time to touch the Word." It is time to touch the Word. Look at your neighbor, say, "You better touch the Word." Hallelujah. I will be reading the New King James Version. "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me?' But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out of me. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. You may be seated." Time to touch the word. The book of Luke that we just read out of was written by Luke the physician, a medical doctor that interviewed many people one-on-one to find information and put things together of a historical book of the life of Jesus Christ. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And I love the way that Luke began both of these books. He said, "O most excellent Theophilus." And Theophilus, according to theologians, could have been a special person that he was writing to. But more agree that Theophilus is his name, what Paul was getting across. Theophilus, the lover of God. The Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning and said, "You are entering a house with many Theophilus present today. That the people that I would be preaching to are lovers of God. But I remind you, under the anointing, that Jesus loves you. You must understand without a doubt that Jesus loves you." Many times, Satan, this isn't in my notes, but many times Satan will come after the children of God and convince you that God is not going to heal you because of something you did even yesterday. That is a lie. Jesus loves you. He loves you unconditionally. And those of you in this house today that need a touch from God, that need a miracle, that need a financial breakthrough, to need your prodigal children to come home, to need your marriage restored, to need God's touch, I am here declaring to you that it will happen because Jesus loves you. Look at your neighbor, say, "Jesus loves you." And when we think about the Father loving us, He will not deny you. Again, religion will teach you that you've got to live up to a certain expectation. But this is not true. And Luke, in his writings, tells us about Jesus being the Messiah. The section that we read today is a beautiful section that Luke highlights all the signs, all the wonders, all the miracles that Jesus Christ did when he was in public ministry. When Jesus Christ showed up, the funeral was over. Come on now, think about that a minute. If he came in the back door, somebody was getting ready to sit up if it was not their appointed time. Do you know you have that power in you? Wouldn't it be wonderful that people would say, "Don't invite her to my funeral. I'm getting that life insurance from that mean husband I had. Don't bring her to my funeral. Because when that woman of God or that man of God shows up, then he's going to sit up in the casket today." I mean, think about it. The power that we have. And Luke confirmed that. In his writings, he also wrote the book of Acts as well. And Luke shows us over and over the sovereignty Jesus Christ had over sickness. The sovereignty Jesus Christ had over death itself. The sovereignty Jesus has over sin that tries to raise its ugly head in our life. Jesus is sovereign over that, and that will be conquered in your life. The sovereignty that Jesus had with natural laws. Jesus could speak to a storm and tell it to calm down. He could walk on the water. That's letting the natural laws know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is sovereign over this situation. Also, that Jesus Christ was sovereign over the supernatural world. How many of you realize that there is a supernatural world that is very real? There are angels that gather in this church all the time. There is a huge angel I saw one time right here in an open heaven that God loves to bless his children. But then on the dark side are the fallen angels. And right before we get to the section of Luke 8 that we enter here, Jesus had been on the east side of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, and he had been to the country of the Gadarenes, and he had told that man that had a legion of devils, he had commanded those demons out of his body. Jesus has control of the supernatural. I don't know how many of you need to go home today, open your front door, and command every dark spirit harassing your mind, harassing your marriage, harassing your children, harassing your finances to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus shows that he has sovereignty over the supernatural power of the enemy in the invisible world that we cannot see. I love that. If you go back to Luke 7, just giving you the context of what I read today, that when he healed the man that had all those demons, the man was so grateful and he wanted to follow him. But the Lord would not let him follow him. And then the city came against him and said, "We need you to leave our region. If you don't want Jesus around, he won't be around." You can ask him to leave and he will leave, or you can ask him to come and he will be amongst us as he is here at River of Life. When we invite Jesus into our situation, everything changes about our situation. When we ask the Abba Father to come and touch our bodies have to be touched. When we ask him to touch our children, they have to be touched. When we ask him to, as we lift up our tithe and offerings to help us, then get ready, get ready, get ready to see the hand of God move mightily in your finances. In this section of sacred scripture that we read today, they may have asked him to leave on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, but he showed up on this side. And when he entered, there were two people, and you can read this later. I always encourage you, get in the Word, get in the Word, get in the Word. There were two people on this side of the Galilee. It was Jairus, who was the well-known rabbi that everybody knew about and looked up to, and then a woman without a name with an issue of blood I just read about. See, Jesus Christ can touch the president of the United States or the kings all over the world, but he can touch those that don't even have a name and don't even seem important. To be honest, he's going to go more for them. To be honest, when we think we aren't being noticed by anybody, Jesus Christ is looking. He is looking at your situation, and he will help you in that situation and heal that situation. We have to notice that in this scripture, that there we were dealing with a 12-year-old that was about to die and a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. When you see the number in scripture stand out like that, you need to understand there's so much importance in that number. Also, the words that the Lord spoke that were first recorded was when he was 12 years old. And we can go on and on. 12 is an important number. So the Holy Spirit had me look up, what does 12 mean? It is a perfect number. It symbolizes God's power and authority over the situation. It means completeness. It means order. And the Holy Spirit is telling me this morning to remind us as the people of God, it is time to get our lives in order with the Word of God as never before. Look at your neighbor, say, get it in order. Get your life in order. What orders our lives? The Word of God. If it's not in this Word, I don't want to have anything to do with it. If it doesn't line up with this word, then I am not going to line up with it. It is important that we, as the people of God, touch the Word of God, say the Word of God, act on the Word of God. And you may say, Jennifer, that's elementary. I was thinking as I was getting ready, Ronnie, this is such an elementary sermon, but it's time for us to go back with what we know to do and start acting on what we know to do. And it is believing the Word of God no matter what report you got. It is believing the Word. And we have seen that in Pastor Dave. We have seen him stand as the shepherd of this church on the Word of God in the midst of a horrible report. And he is here and he is well in the name of Jesus because he has ordered his life with the Word of God. The woman in this story shows us that when you touch the Word and you mix it with faith, then everything changes. Look at your neighbor, say, mix it with faith. Luke 1:43 says, and I know Debbie's soon-to-be husband is a doctor, but I think it's no coincidence that of the three Gospels that discuss this beautiful story, Luke was the one that said she had gone to many, Luke 8:43, she had gone to many physicians and was not better. This woman was listening to society. She was not asking God what to do. And let me say, I honor doctors. My daughter-in-law is a doctor now. I thank God for doctors. And I know that God heals through physicians, but he is the only healer. And this woman was looking for something to heal her, to make her whole. What, as the people of God, sometimes do we run to thinking this is what will make us whole? If I get these degrees, this will make me whole. If I become debt free, this will make me whole. If I win the lottery, I'm not promoting gambling. Can I get a witness? I've never bought a ticket. But if I win the lottery, then my life will be better. Come on now, single women. If I meet that man, then my life will be better. Let me give you a nugget from God. Meeting a man is not going to make you whole. You need to get whole before you meet a man, or you're going to be a broken woman with a broken man in a broken situation. What are we looking for many times thinking that that's going to make us whole? What about all the infomercials? You eat this herb, you drink this drink, then you're going to be whole. No, no. There is only one thing that's going to make you whole, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is only one thing, as the people of God, that we can go to, just like this woman. When she heard about Jesus. See, when Luke says that she has spent all her money on many physicians, women with an issue of blood, they would have them take certain herbs. She did that and it didn't work. They would have her sit over a ditch. She did that and it didn't work. Or one of the famous ways is they would have somebody unexpectedly come up and scare her, and that would stop an issue of blood. Now, how silly is that? You think, well, how silly is that? But what are we out here trying to get a hold of? What are we thinking is going to make us whole when he's walking right amongst us? And so when this woman heard about Jesus Christ, she could not wait to go. And even in her mind, she had a strategy. She said, if I may touch the hem of his garment, then I will be made whole. She heard, and therefore by her hearing, she knew that she could go to Jesus Christ and it was going to be all right. Look at your neighbor, say, go to Jesus, it's going to be all right. What have you been hearing? Romans 10:17 says that hearing by hearing and the Word of God. as charismatic, spirit-filled Christians, that's as basic as you can get. By hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Be careful what you're hearing. God will tell you He's going to heal you, and then Sister Boo will come up and tell you she met five people that died from that after she met them. Had the same thing. They were believing to be healed from God. So don't even entertain it. What are you hearing? You want to know how crazy conspiracy theories get started? People listen for hours and hours and hours to this, and they start hearing it. And if there's a theory and a philosophy out here, if I tell you something enough times, you'll start believing it. We see that in Romans 10:17, by hearing. But it's by hearing through the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, I'm going to receive it. But if the Word of God doesn't say it, I'm not going to receive it. If people have an experience with God and they're all happy about it and it seems glorious, it still has to line up with the Word of God. And Luke shows us over and over and over again that Jesus healed those that came to Him. It's so important when you see a story like this hemorrhaging woman that is in all three of the Gospels. According to the laws of hermeneutics that I learned in Bible college, when you have a story told that many times in the Bible, God is speaking to us. He's speaking to us directly. And I love that she said, "If I may touch His clothes, that I will be made well." She understood the transfer of the anointing. She understood that she was leaning into His anointing. That's why it's so important when you're sick, when you're not feeling well, when you're believing for a miracle, that you get around the anointing. Because the anointing will work for you even if you don't have faith sometimes for it. The anointing of God will break everything off of your life. And when you take your money, like you did this morning, and you plant it in anointed seed, God will hear your prayer and take care of you financially. The anointing. But when you read in Matthew 9:20, it says she touched the hem of His garment. And the hem of a rabbi's garment had four tassels. They were on each end of his robe. There were four tassels there that they had to wear. And in the middle of those tassels was one blue thread. And that blue thread represented the covenant by God and the Word of God. So she wasn't just walking and trying to grab like this. She was so focused on getting the tassel and then finding the blue thread in the middle of the tassel in a crowd of thousands of people. And this woman pushed through things in her life that you, as a man and a woman of God, that you are going to have to push through many times. She had to push through that according to the law, she was unclean and she wasn't even supposed to be in public. She had to push through the ritualistic belief and the religious belief that was keeping her at home still bleeding. She had to push through religion. And you, as the people of God, that spirit of religion will try to latch onto you and tell you that you just tolerate the sickness. You tolerate the rebellion in your children in the supernatural. You tolerate having a marriage that isn't flourishing. The religion will teach you to put up with stuff that you're not called to put up with. But if it is not causing you to live an abundant life, a life that Jesus promised, then you're going to have to push through it. She had to push through that crowd. She had to, in her mind, she had to push through. I'm sure there were rabbis there that day that probably had took her money and didn't heal her. She had to push through the disappointment that she has even experienced in church. I'm sure nobody's been disappointed in church, right? If you haven't, you will be. Because church folk aren't perfect. And if you think you're perfect and you come into a church, you just made it imperfect. Because nobody's perfect but Jesus. So she had to push through all the times that she was disappointed. She had to push through all those demons that told her she was never going to get well year after year after year after year. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are some of you here today and nobody knows about your addiction, but Jesus knows. And he said, it's your push through day. It's your push through where you're going to grab that blue thread. You're going to grab that and you're going to believe no matter what, I am healed. She had to push through abuse. Where were her friends? Where was her husband? She was unclean. She had to push through demons in her past. She had to push through so much to get to Jesus Christ. And then she had her strategy. She was going to touch the word, but she had to mix it with faith. I love this scripture. Those of you that's never thought about this in great detail, the Holy Spirit downloaded it to me yesterday. Hebrews 4:2, it says, the word did not profit them because they did not mix faith with the word they heard. You can sit in so many church services. You can hear the word being preached, but unless you apply it and you act on it. This woman, in her mind, she knew she had to touch the hem of his garment. She had to touch that blue thread. She knew that. But she could have stayed home. She could have never gotten out of bed that day when she heard Jesus was coming to her town. But she got up and she moved and she had action. And that is where many times we are lacking as the church of God. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to give us a strategy, but when something is being preached and the anointing is flowing and an altar call is given, and I'm saying to you before I leave this church today, bring your issues to the front of this church and God is going to heal you. You got to move in faith. You got to get up. You've got to go like this woman and push through, but I've been to the altar 50 times and I'm still in my addiction, or I don't want them to see me going to the altar again, or can this really be real that God can touch me? Yes, it is real. I see so many miracles in prisons and jails, and the one I've rejoiced about, when I got out of jail that day, I'm the chaplain at our local jail. I called Rebecca, and I was just going on and on and on and on. She was like, Mama, you got to share that one. I said, it's such a miracle. It's a sacred thing to share. I said, but I will when the Lord tells me. And there was this beautiful Hispanic woman that was locked up in our jail. Her name was Ophelia, and she could not speak any English. And so when I found that out, we immediately got her a Spanish Bible. And then we started bringing her all these books, Word of Faith, Kenneth Copeland, Joseph Prince, every book I could find. And I'd go to Barnes and Nobles and look for the Spanish versions, Joyce Meyer. And she would come and join us there at the table. That was her moving in faith. She couldn't understand us, but she would just sit there and she would look. This woman was under such a high bond. There was no way she could meet that bond. It was over $1 million. And she was innocent. She was innocent. She happened to be in a car with her husband, who wasn't innocent. And they arrested her also. And she has two little children. And then on top of that, ICE got real involved. real involved, real fast. This woman, even though she could not speak Spanish, you could look at this woman and feel the Holy Spirit. And she would come to the table and she would hear the word of God preached. And little by little, she was, you could just tell the Holy Spirit was just growing in her so strong. And the other girls, they loved her so much. And she was encouraging them as best as she could. She was trying to learn English. She was believing for a miracle. And at we would have our time together. She had her Spanish Bible. And whatever I would read, I would say, now I need you to read. And one of the other inmates that could speak a little bit of Spanish would find it in her Bible and she would read. Then she would pray. And then I said, God, please give her a miracle. She's innocent. And they were talking about ICE was ready to take her and she was going to be very separated from those two little precious children. But yet I could see her and she was moving in faith and she was like this woman with the issue of blood. Even the guards started talking. She's always in her Bible. She's always reading those books. We know she's praying and believing, but they would say, Chaplain, it's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. And then all of a sudden, I came one day and she wasn't there. And I said, where is Ophelia? And the guard said, Chaplain, maybe you will, but this one's going to be hard for you to believe. I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. And they said, I don't know where all of her charges were dropped. All of her charges were dropped. Her husband kept saying, she wasn't involved. She wasn't involved. All of her charges were dropped. And I said, Ann. And they said, Ann, the ICE worker, retired. And said when he retired, don't worry about opening this case up. Just let it be. I'm going to move on. I'm going to tell you it's the truth. My God can do anything. She touched that blue cord. She touched the word of God. She believed for the impossible. She is back with her children. She is reunited. Those babies are with their mama because this woman touched the blue thread. When you touch the word and you act on the word, and some people say, well, I don't believe in all that. Well, get over it. God did it. I don't care what you believe. When God does something, you can't mess with our God. I've seen women grab the word of God and touch the word of God and act on the word of God in prison. And all of a sudden, I get notification that they got released early. They write letters. We don't know why they came to get us. And we said, it's not our time to be released. And they said, according to this, it is. Pack your bags. God can do anything, but you got to touch the word of God. You got to act on it. You got to really believe and allow under the anointing to see God do a miracle for you like you have never seen. We know that this woman, she touched Jesus. She got past everything that was against her. What's against you today? What's your issue? What's your issue? Who do you know in your life that needs a miracle? Your child, a prodigal. That good-looking boy with that doctor right there, there was a time when he was a prodigal. And I believed and I spoke and I decreed and I declared. But I still had to act on it. I still had to act as if my prayers had been answered. I still had to love when it was hard to love sometimes because of great disappointment. But God responds when we act. He loves you. He loved that woman. He didn't judge her. He loved her. And God has sent me today to remind you, what is your issue? You may have had it a long time. Most of us that's had issues a long time, we just go in denial about it. We come to church, even run through the river. Can I get a witness here? Just run through the river and thinking, okay, I'm going to get in that river and I'm going to believe. But you got to believe before you get in that river. You got to believe today before you come to the front of this church. I'll end with this. I will never forget the first time I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And the Holy Spirit told me I had breast cancer. And then I went to the doctors and they confirmed it. And they were like, the surgeon called me and said, there's no way you could have felt what I took a biopsy of today. And I remember I said to him, he's a well-known surgeon in our city, I said, God told me that. He said, you told me on the table today when I was taking your biopsy. He said, but you have messed with my theology. I said, what do you mean I've messed with your theology? He said, I did not know God still speaks to people today. I thought he only spoke through the Bible. And when I open my Bible, he's speaking to me. He said, but I cannot deny what I took a biopsy of. There is no way you could have felt that, but you told me you felt it and told me that God magnified the senses in your fingers so you felt it. And I remember when they did the lumpectomy, and I just was rejoicing, and in 7 days, we're flying to Louisiana to a conference, and I remember taking the word of God, and I would say it, I would decree it, I would fall asleep with the word of God going around me. I've even told y'all, and I would stuff my phone in my bra and say, take that tumor, and I'd have healing scriptures going. I walked in my office one day, and I'm talking to my office manager. This is before Rebecca came, our executive director, and it just become a part of me, and it was a male manager, and he said, Miss Jennifer, am I hearing a voice or do you hear that too? And I said, oh my goodness, Joseph, I have forgot. Hold one second. Took it out. I said, I just had this speaking to the tumor today. And I saw God do a miracle. And then 2.5 years later, the enemy attacked again and the tumor was back. And the Holy Spirit told me the tumor was back. The 3D machines missed it. And I knew I had a tumor there. And then they took a biopsy of a tumor. Once again, they're shaking their head like, how did you know? But when that happened, they did the big guns. I had major surgery. And I remember why I love this story so much. Before, when I had it, you know, I would play the healing scriptures. I would say the healing scriptures, but I was just letting the healing scriptures flow over me. But when it came back the second time, and the reaction was very different by the doctors, I wrote out every healing scripture in the Bible and taped them to the walls of my bedroom. And every morning I would get up. And before the enemy would start planning in my mind, you're not going to make it this time. When it comes back again, it's a bad report. I would stand and I would lay my hand on every scripture. And I would say that scripture out loud. And I would go through the scriptures. And I would touch those scriptures knowing those scriptures had the power to heal my body. Those scriptures had the power that cancer was never going to come back. Those scriptures worked and I was touching the blue thread. And it would take me a long time to get through those scriptures. But I would say them every day because I needed to touch them, to say them, to feel them. To know that touching the blue thread heals me, that God heals when we believe and touch that word. And as I told you earlier, I have been released and I am considered cured through the word. What? And you know, Romans 2:11, God's not going to do that for me and not do that for you. We don't serve a God that has favorites. There's no superstars in the kingdom. We are all the same level according to the word of God. What are your issues between you and God? Is it the issues of low self-esteem? Is it the issues of child abuse? Is it the issue of the fear of failure? Is it the issue of physical healing, of mental healing, of depression, of anxiety, childhood abuse? Is it the issue of your passion coming back with the Lord? What are your issues this morning? Because God wants to heal every issue in this house. Is it your prodigal children? What is the issue? Is it not understanding something that happened in your life? Is it needing words healed over your life that you can still hear? If you can still hear the words from your childhood that bring you pain, or the words of an ex-spouse that destroys you, there is a spirit behind that that needs to be broken. I want us as the people of God today to get free. And I can tell you, her point of contact was she grabbed that tassel in the blue thread. I know without a doubt that your point of contact today is to come to the front of this church and to kneel down and ask God to set you free. If you can't kneel down, you can sit on a front row. But I want an act of service today. I want you to have that faith, to mix faith with the word that you have heard. She was healed. She was set free. And even though she didn't want to be recognized because she knew she shouldn't have been there, Jesus saw her, recognized her, and said, "Daughter, daughter." The only one he called daughter was an unclean woman that couldn't get healed, it seemed. He loves you. You're his daughter and you are his son. And he is not going to deny you in any way. And so right now I want everyone to stand to their feet. But as an evangelist, everywhere I go, I make sure that everybody's born again. Because, guys, it is wrapping up. The signs are getting louder and louder that we are indeed in the last days. When Rebecca and I are driving to the big cities trying to find a prison in that city, as we get closer, the signs get bigger. Well, we got some big signs right now that says Jesus is coming again. And he's coming soon. But his desire is no one leaves this earth without knowing him. So every head bowed, this is literally a time between you and the Lord. If you are not sure of your salvation and nobody's looking around, this is going to be, I'm going to see your hand and I'm going to recognize it, and everybody's eyes are closed. This is a sacred moment right now. If you are not sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I need you to just raise your hand. And today is your day of salvation. You will leave this room right now, born again. Put it up high so I can see you. Come on, someone's hand. Put your hand up right now. This is your moment of salvation right now. This is your moment right now. Let's say you're in a backslidden condition and you know that you are not living the way you should be living. If that is you, put your hand up. This is your moment. And I thank God. I see that. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Someone else, you're ready to make it right. This is a you're not living the way you should live. Put your hand up right now. This is your moment. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Come on, there's more than that. This is your moment. Anyone else that wants to get things right? I see that hand. I see that hand. Hallelujah to the light. I see that hand in the name of Jesus Christ. This is your moment. The Holy Spirit is moving mightily. I need the whole church, and you can put your hands down. I have got them in my mind, as does the Deborah of this house. Right now, I want this whole church, this blessed gathering, to pray this prayer with these people. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you humbly as your child right now. I surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus. I give you everything that I have. I ask forgiveness for all my sins. And I receive you as my Savior. I receive you as my Lord. I am your child. I'm running to you now. Wrap your arms around me. And you say in your word, that nothing can snatch me away. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I need y'all to give some praise in this house this morning. Hallelujah. I praise God for people being born again today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now what we're going to do, and we are not going to hold you long. Amen. You got a woman preacher, and I believe God can do a mighty work fast. How many people here today? Did you want to say something? Okay. How many people? Well, I got to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Keep standing. The Lord has spoken to me several times over the last few days, and He said, you are the Deborah of this house. That you are the prophetic voice of a mother. And when your voice goes out over the people, there is an anointing like no other on you. The anointing of God is so high. You are in a time of great favor. When the Lord says to you, ask and it shall be answered, and it shall be answered speedily. You're going to see a change in Andrew happen over before this year is out, and you're going to see your prayers answered because you are a Deborah, and when you prophesy it, it comes to pass. And you remember when Deborah took Barak to the top of the mountain and the ward, and there was a great miracle that day. Those of you that will hook your faith up with this mother of this house and the father, the shepherd of the house, Pastor David, but the mother, there's an anointing on her so strong. Prophet and a mother prophet. And it's so powerful when she speaks life over you. There is a power in her voice and an anointing over her. I've had her pray over me, and I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Pastor David's prophesied over our ministry, over our homes and everything. We've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And right now, before we come forward, I want the mother of this house to decree and declare, and I want you to come in agreement with her right now. Amen. What you feel for the sheep gathered today.
Amen. I just decree and declare that we as a people, we are the people of God, and I thank you, Father, that all things are ours. We declare anything that we ask in your name, believing, it shall be ours because you want the best. For us, you want the very best for us, the sweetest of wine in the Holy Spirit for us. Thank you, Father. I say in Jesus' name, everyone in here has your needs met, and it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. Thank you for filling the house to overflowing with the goodness of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. I want the altar team to come forward. And you want some prayer from Jennifer. She'll be standing here. Also, we'll have Ronnie and Roseanne. If you have a financial need, you can come over here. We just bless you in the name of the Lord today. I thank you for coming out. I just say the Lord's light is shining upon you. Let His countenance be upon you for peace and for joy for the rest of the week. Don't forget we have prophetic this afternoon starting at 2 o'clock. God bless you.
Into your courts with praise. I come so thankful.